Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, churches that spread from coast to coast, from the most southern point all the way up into the Arctic. We're not a denomination, we are a fellowship. We have a grouping of self-autonomous assemblies where we govern and direct ourselves, but we have a fellowship that ties us together. We were a missions organization before we were recognized by the government as a fellowship. And that little piece of paper you saw, the charter at the start, and it had 1919 on the bottom of it, an ancient document. The original draft for that was down here, just down the road, 15 minutes west of Cornwall. What's now covered by the St. Lawrence Seaway was a little community called Mill Rush. Right now you'll find the community of Long Sioux on the shores of the Seaway there. But that's where seven godly men from different church backgrounds came together and said, God, there's got to be more. There has to be more. My grandfather said from his home in the town of Mill Rush, he could stand on the front porch, look up across the fields and see the farmhouse where those men came and talked to the owner and said, can we come and just stay at your home for a while to pray and fast? Out of that came the moving and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Canada in different points and different parts. But that's when it fell in this area. There was a little white church building you saw early on in that presentation. That's Kinburn, folks. That's Kinburn. That was the first building that this fellowship of churches ever established and owned. We've got a tremendous heritage. I love it. I think there's lots of room. So when we talk about our Caring Hearts ministry and reaching out in missions, there's plenty of room for that. There's Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada has a missions outreach also. Whether it's Pastor Dave Tubby's camp over a few miles or kilometers from here, there's room for that. We were begun as a missions organization, sending people out to present the gospel. They went in the power of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit. Something drove them forward and pressed them on. And that's who we are. That's who we are. We're 100 years old. We look pretty good. We look pretty good. My mom grew up on the farm, just two farms over from that little white church house. Irish immigrants that came over in the late 1890s, settled in the Ottawa Valley. That's my claim to fame here, folks. I belong here. I've got roots. You got to go ways back, but there's roots. My father's family were in that little community church of Mill Rush, where they saw the outpouring of God, where the town turned upside down. Remember the scripture? Those that have turned the world upside down? They found it was the power of Pentecost. And we are a Pentecostal church. No apologies, no asking forgiveness. That's who we are. We don't wear it with pride to be able to say, ah, see, we're better than anybody else. No, no, no. We are Pentecostal believers. It's a distinctive. And so today, let me tell you 10 things you should know about Pentecost Sunday. Do you ever watch one of those late night TV shows with the guy and you'll say 10 things, top 10, whatever? Here's 10 things you should know about Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday marks the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. Pentecost Sunday occurs 50 days after Easter. The Bible records the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Pentecost comes 10 days after the ascension of Jesus, after he appeared again to the disciples. Pentecost is known as the birthday of the church. Doesn't matter what your denomination, your religious stripe, doesn't matter. The birth of the church is referenced back to Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost fulfills Jesus' promise. He said he would send the counselor, he would send the comforter, he would send the spirit of truth. Pentecost launches a large-scale spreading of the gospel after Jesus' ascension. Acts 2 verses 41 records that after Peter spoke to a crowd and they received the Holy Spirit, 3,000 of them. That's before they had sound systems and microphones and auditoriums. In an open-air meeting, 3,000 come to know the Lord and are filled with the Spirit. The Pentecostal movement derives its name from the New Testament event in the second chapter of Acts. Jewish people also celebrate Pentecost, but not for the same reason as Christians. The celebration of the Jews of Pentecost is to observe God giving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai 50 days after the Exodus. Pentecost in Jewish tradition takes place 50 days after Passover. It also takes place as a celebration of the harvest in the springtime of the year. In Western churches, Pentecost is usually represented by the color red. Some of our mainline church friends will have colors of the church season. Red is the color of Pentecost, but it symbolizes the fire of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that on vacation a number of times, we've made our way to a Presbyterian church. Don't cancel my membership or anything. But I was intrigued as we drove through a little community where we had our trailer parked and we would vacation, that the Presbyterian church in their church logo had three licks of flame coming up. Well, that speaks to me of Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, fire has always symbolized the Holy Spirit. And when we went there, it was a pastor who definitely knew the Lord. And while with some mainline churches have a very stiff liturgy and a service structure, you can't write everybody off. You can't paint them all with the same paintbrush. There are believers. God has a remnant everywhere you look. And there are people there that are serving the Lord in truth and in life every day. And so I was surprised the one summer, though, when we went in. And at the front of this Presbyterian church, all old building, big balcony, wonderful woodwork all around, there was an aluminum box at the front. It was on wheels. It was a portable baptismal tank. And I thought, wait a minute, this is a Presbyterian church. And I looked over, and on the right side and the left side of the altar area, there was the baptismal font where they would normally sprinkle. But that morning, two people came to give their testimony. And it was enough to start you up and push you all the way through life for Jesus. It was no problem there. They talked about their lives before and where they had been and where Jesus met them and where he had brought them to. And they said, it's because of Jesus we want to go through the waters of baptism today. And they made that public declaration of faith in what we sometimes would say, well, that's a mainline church. No, we don't go there. Oh, friends, I think we're going to be amazed when we get to heaven. You look around, see who all's there. Say, what? And they're going to look at us and say, what, you made it? It's Pentecost Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday. Take your Bibles and turn with me. We're going to turn to that passage in Acts. It's Acts chapter 2, page 992 in my Bible. You're on your own. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And if you have it, or if you need to call it up on your phone or your tablet, that's okay too. We don't mind the new technology. Just don't you be playing games during church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Father, add your blessing to your word this morning. Guide and direct our words and our thoughts. May we, through this time together, see Jesus and the work of your Holy Spirit. We ask in your precious and holy name. Amen. Pentecost is special. It is. Deborah leaned over to me during the second portion of the singing there and she said, I don't know what you had for breakfast, but it's working. If she's real good, I'll show her. Oh, friends, I've just been living in a fresh sense of that every day with Jesus. Every day with Jesus. Because I can tell you, not every day does the sun shine. You know that living here. Every day the sun doesn't shine. We're going for a record 4 days in a row. I don't mean to, you know, touch wood. Okay, there we go. But in your life, emotionally, mentally, not every day does the sun shine. I need to tell you, the Son of God shines every day. Every day in your life. And you can live in that every day with Jesus experience. So Pentecost is special. Special to the Jewish people. It's special to us today. It was that annual Jewish festival. Took place at harvest time. It was a time of great celebration of the faithfulness of God. When's the last time you celebrated the faithfulness of God? Some of you are thinking, I can tell. Little wrinkles on your forehead. Did you say grace at dinner table last night? Did you bow your head before you drank your coffee and ate your toast this morning and gave thanks to the Lord? Thankful for what? For his faithfulness, for his provision, for his care, for his love. Now, that praying before your meal is not just a little idle recitation that we do. I like to do it in restaurants and see what kind of response you get, you know? They're over here cussing up a storm because their team didn't win last night or whatever, you know? And you just bow your heads. You don't make a big thing of it, but you begin to thank God, because we need to be thankful people. We need to walk in that place as we walk every day with Jesus. So the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. We spoke of that. And it doesn't matter, again, what denominational background. Church history goes back to the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is so much more than just a historical event. It's not just an event or a time in the calendar, but it is the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's what changed things. Pentecost speaks. If I was preaching using the method of alliteration today, there'd be P's at the start of everything. Pentecost, power, presence. I think we could work our way through. But it speaks of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit being released into the life and of the church and the life of us as individuals in the church. Because truly, we are the living church, right? Everyone understands it's not just the building. It's not just the butternut wood on the walls and the drywall on the ceiling and the concrete in the foundation. But we are the living stones of this church. And we carry with us Jesus Christ and the message of hope. Pentecost speaks of that total work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Speaks of the gifts of the Spirit. Speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to touch on that later this month. It speaks of the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit, that third person in the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it speaks of all that is involved in the work of the Holy Spirit, both in the life of the individual and in the life of us together as the church. Man, it's exciting. And I obviously need to do my job better, because you're not excited yet, but it's coming. It's coming. The text this morning, it speaks of two things. It speaks of the experience of Pentecost. But it also speaks of the evidence of Pentecost. I focus particularly, it's highlighted in my Bible, on the fourth verse. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's where I focused. Because, friends, it's a text that many of us know well. Some could recite it. Some, perhaps, it's a bit of a paraphrase. It's not word for word, but we're there. I'd say if it's not underlined in your Bible, you need to underline that. You know it's okay to write in your Bible. In fact, Deborah found herself a Bible that has very large margins. It was called the Journaling Bible. In my head, journaling meant you wrote notes in the side. Deborah draws pictures. So when you look it up in the Psalms and it says, as the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my soul longs after you, O God, there's a picture of the deer standing at the stream drinking. And I'm thinking, I can't even make stick people. How can she get all of that talent and ability? And then we haven't even started on Jan. So you can write in your Bible. You can highlight. You can mark things. I have a new Bible. I bought some coming here because my other Bible was from 1983 and I'd put all the duct tape on it I could. It hardly would open anymore. But I didn't pick up my new Bible and say, well, I need to go back to the book of John in my old Bible and highlight everything fresh and new. No. I'd rather the Holy Spirit reveal new things to me as I come to the Word in a fresh way. Haven't you found that as you read? Something fresh comes to you and say, wait a minute, I've read this before. I never saw that. It never appeared to me and had that significance. That's the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. The text is important to us. It's a verse that gives distinct testimony to our congregation. We are Pentecostal believers. It's a verse that gives us our unique testimony as to the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. It's our understanding of this particular text. It marks us as being different from some other evangelical churches. Understanding that evangelical churches are those that believe you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just your Sunday attendance that'll get you in. I'm sorry, there are going to be some disappointed people when they get to the golden gates, pearly gates and golden streets. Sorry. And St. Peter's gone on his coffee break and Jesus is standing there. And they come up and say, well, Jesus, I'm here. Let me in. And why do we open the gates for you? Well, I have perfect attendance. Since I was a little child, I have perfect attendance. Well, there was that one week with whooping cough. But all the other ones, I'm good, Lord. Is perfect attendance going to get us in? No. Well, I observed all the holy days. No. It's what did you do with Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary and his gift of salvation? It's that personal relationship that makes us evangelical believers. It's a verse here that should be underlined in our Bibles, like I said. All of them, it says, all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And there's really two parts to the verse. There's the experience of Pentecost first. All were filled. Secondly, there's the evidence of Pentecost. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That initial experience of Pentecost happened to 120 people in the city of Jerusalem, all together, all at one time. The initial experience is what Jesus had told his disciples to wait for in the city. He said, you wait until the Holy Spirit comes. You wait for the gift from my Father. You wait. Don't disperse. Don't everybody spread out across the country. Gather together. And they were in an upper room. We don't know exactly where that upper room was. I've never been particularly taken with that of knowing exactly what point and whatever. I have friends that just this week returned from Israel. All week on Instagram, it was pictures. Here we are. This is exactly where this happened. I'm not sure if it exactly happened. If it didn't exactly happen there, it doesn't change my faith any. I'm still walking with the Lord. I'm still believing what the scripture tells me. But we don't know exactly where the upper room was located. But it does tell us something. Scripture says they were all in one accord. Accord is not a word that we use much unless we're referring to Honda automobiles. But it says they were all of one mind, all of one heart. They were all there together. They're all going the same direction. Today you might say we're all singing from the same hymn book, only we don't use the hymn book a whole lot anymore. They're all reading off the same page. They were all in one accord. They were all there waiting for the gift from the Father that Jesus had promised them.